All right. This team, I think we know about their running game, but they throw the ball. They've thrown the ball really well. They're a top 10 offense. I'm amazed. I didn't study the quarterback that much last year, but what I saw of him, he's really improved this year. Malarkey's done a great job with him. He throws the ball downfield as good as anybody in the league right now. He's not turning the ball over, and they can run the football as good as anybody. So a real challenge from their offense.
Are you further surprised by how far he's come with the type of offense they run at Oregon? And it's not
even well, I mean, everybody knew. I mean, he was obviously a high pick, and everybody knew he was a really good athlete. But, some of them make it and get better, and some of them don't. So he's obviously improved as he's gone along. Must be a hard worker because you can tell. And we looked at some things last year, and he didn't throw the ball as well downfield as he does now. So he's making a lot of big plays downfield and throwing them well, besides being able to run with it, which was the same kind of threat we had last week, but he might, maybe a little faster than Bortles. Also, like I said, those two big running backs are powerful players. And their offensive line is good. They did a good job getting him help there. They took a rookie in the first round, and he's played really well for him at tackle. And the other big tackle is a good player too, so a real good player.
Wade, what is it that Delanie Walker brings to their offense, and how is that?
He's a real threat. Most of the time the tight end isn't the number one target. Most of the time it's the wide receivers that are the number one target. He's the number one target on their team, and you can see why. They're not shying away from the wide receivers. It's just that he's such a talent. Even after 11 years in the league, he's as fast as a wide receiver and runs really good routes, and they've made a lot of big plays with him. So we have to really be aware of that.
It's not that often that you cross paths with coaches that have coached more than you in this league. What's it say about Dick LeBeau, and how well do y'all know each other?
You think he's coached more than I am? I don't know. I mean, I know he played a long time, so I didn't play, so I got ahead of him there. I wasn't a good player, so. A few years, I think. But I don't know the number of years he's coached. But yeah, he's coached a long time and been a great coach, and really the mastermind of zone blitz, and has continued to do well with that. Throughout his career, and he's in the Hall of Fame as a player, really, but he should be in the Hall of Fame as a coach too. He's tremendous. If they ever give assistant coaches, put him in the Hall of Fame, he would be one that I would put in for sure.
What's the key? If you're going to coach a long time, how do you keep relating to the guys on offense?
I think just the longer you coach, I think it helps because you come in and they feel like you know something, so, and you can help them, so reputation helps you, I think, coming in and, word of mouth say, hey, well, this guy's going to come in and help you guys or whatever. So that helps, I guess. I mean, that's been my experience. I'm not sure. I think you just be yourself and coach the way you coach. I've always coached a certain way, and I think, they always say players coach and all that stuff, and some people say that's, you shouldn't be that. But, if you like a guy, all right, I think you play for him a little better than you do somebody you don't like at all. The old coaching thing where, you got to be mean to the players all the time and cuss them out, and they don't fear you, I can tell you that, In the old days, the way the old days where they grabbed them by the face mask and told them they were going to cut them that day and that kind of stuff. Those things don't happen. They got guaranteed contracts and all that stuff now. So it's so you got to relate to them on a level that you can help them be a better player, and that's what we've always tried to do.
Have players changed over the years?
Oh yeah, I mean, society's changed, obviously, but. there was a big change. My dad was coaching in, you know, the Vietnam era and the long hairs and all that stuff, and he was a Marine, you know. And I said, you know, what about these guys? He said, it doesn't matter if they have long hair or not. They're the same, you know. You treat them the way you treat them, and you get respect from them, you know, that's the relationship. And so that's the way you coach. I mean, now it's hip-hop music that didn't have, you know, when I was first coaching, things like that, but too much vulgarity, but that's in society too, you know. So all that's changed, but you adjust with all that.
Corey Nelson, if you have to use him in place of Brandon this week, how's he especially come along in the run?
Yeah, he's played, you know, Corey's come in and done a good job. He's had to play a lot this year already, and we're glad of that because it's helped him get better. And when we started playing him in the sub stuff quite a bit, he played well against the run in the sub, which was pleasing because, you know, he's been kind of a good cover guy. He's such a good athlete. You know, you looked at him that way, but now with him playing more in the base defense, and he's a good tackler. He can really run. He's got a lot of ability. So, we're glad we have him.
Two running backs that Tennessee has. How do they complement each other? Alike, different?
Yeah, Henry, they don't, you know, and they've talked about it. They don't use him as quite as much. It's not like, you know, one series you see one series you see the other. But, you know, Murray's looks like he did at Dallas. I mean, he looks like one of the top backs in the league. He's already over 1,000 yards. So they're utilizing him as the main back, but the other guy comes in and can pound you and make plays too. So they got certain packages for Henry. They don't play him quite as much. But, you know, Murray's the first guy you got to stop, but they'll put the other guy in there too.
What about Mariota's ability to run? You know, you talk about throwing, but.
Yeah, that's part of their running. You know, I was around Michael Vick for a while at Atlanta. I mean, you know, we had Warwick done. We had a good running game, and we were a pretty good running team. You know, we were a good running team. But when you add, you know, 1,000 yards to the quarterback, you're the best running team in the league. Well, the same thing here. I mean, you've got two really good running backs, one over 1,000, the other one a really strong runner, and then you got a quarterback that's got over 300 yards rushing already. That makes you a really strong running team. Probably one of the best, if not the best.
Do your pass rushers have to do anything differently or not be as eager to get to the quarterback because Mariota can't take off and run?
You know, it's a lot like some of the quarterbacks we played a lot like Cam, you know. And we just played Bortles, who could run with it. You have to be aware of it. How much you throttle them back can hurt you, you know. You know, we put spy. We actually put spy on Cam during, in the Super Bowl. But then after a while, we said, "Hey, you guys rush him and make the right decisions." That's a good thing about Vaughn and DeMarcus and even our other outside rush guys, Wolf, those kind of people. You can tell them, "Hey, if you can beat your guy, go ahead and beat him and make the play. But if you can't, then some guys you have to say, "Hey, we got to contain the quarterback no matter what." These guys can rush the passer and maybe get to him or pressure him, like we saw last week, even though we didn't get Vaughn got the sack. But Vaughn had two big plays in the game. You know, the interception for a touchdown, he knocked the tackle into the quarterback and made the ball go bad. And then the fumble at the end of the game, he had a good sack fumble at the end of the game because of that. So I've never seen a guy double team as much as he was last game. It was phenomenal. Talking to their coaches after the game, they said we weren't going to let him be the difference, and he was the difference. So that tells you how good he is. They double-teamed him every pass play, at least two guys, and sometimes three. But he's an amazing player.
He says he doesn't get frustrated by it, but do you ever have to talk to him during the game about, hey, you know?
No, he goes out there and, you know, and all the great ones have done that. I mean, Reggie White was like that. I mean, they tried to double him all the time, and you know, they realize that those things are going to happen. So, but they overcome them because they're so good.
Don't DeMarcus talked about how Jacksonville didn't do much tricks or bells or whistles with the motions and formations. And
yeah, each team has their own way of doing things. I mean, you know, and Jacksonville was pretty stagnant in the things they did, and not a lot of personnel groups. You know, they just did it with the guys they had, and then, you know, we played teams like that, and then some of them, like this team, they changed a lot of personnel and a lot of motions and a lot of shifts. You know, there's two ways to do it, and they do it that way. It could be good. It can be good. It also be, you know, if you don't, you know, you could have motion penalties. You could have your timing could be off offensively. You got to, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen when you start moving more people around. That more negative things that can happen. So, but they do them well.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
All right.